Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Priya Rakoff. I want to welcome you today to the first show in my new series of Compassionate Communication. I'm the founder of the coaching company Women in Full Bloom and the producer of another show on Blog Talk Radio called Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60. So thank you for being with me here today. I'm really thrilled to start this series as it is near and dear to my heart's desire. And since this is the first episode, I'll be giving you a bit of an introduction about who I am and what this is about. And then I'll be sharing my talk on today's subject, which is the power of compassion, empathy, and love, which will last for about 20 minutes or so. And then I will open up the lines for some sharing. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge you for being here with me. If you're new to this material, I want to thank you for your openness to learn something new and the risk that you might be taking to shift your perspective and make some changes in your life. And if you already practice some form of compassionate communication, I want to acknowledge you for being open to what I have to share from my perspective and my understanding. So how we are with each other is the never-ending subject of conversation and inquiry. We talk about this all the time with each other. And even if you consider yourself intelligent and self-connected, aware, self-aware, when the inevitable, difficult conversation happens, you might become shy, tongue-tied. You might become uncomfortable with speaking or unable to get in touch with the words that express how you really feel, afraid of critical judgment or afraid of conflict, or you might not know how to go deeper, or you might not know how to be present in your listening to another person. This series of shows or classes, if you will help you to bring your capacity to communicate to the next level of integration from wherever you are now, your next level of integration with who you feel to be inside of yourself. So this series and these classes, so to speak, are also for you if you just have a feeling or if you have an inner knowing that you're just not quite showing up, for whatever reason, in your relationships in a way that reflects the values, the deeper values of love and compassion that are an essential part of your spiritual orientation or your higher values, I'll call them, in life. And that's because compassionate communication is a bridge from our general spiritual values as human beings into our everyday life. And I'll share more about that a little later. So it's my hope that I can shed a bit of light into how you can be more present for yourself and present for the other people in your life in a way that brings you the kind of love and connection that you're longing for. So who am I anyway? Who am I to be doing this? I'm just another person like yourself who has a desire to learn and grow, to love more, to touch others with the gifts that have been given to me and that I've benefited from in my life. I'm a woman in my 60s, and I've lived a very rich life. I've delved deep into what it is to be human and what it is to be a woman. And I'm still vital, go figure, after 60 years. And I'm still enthusiastic about whatever is next in my life. So I have a business teaching communication skills, like I mentioned before, and movement awareness. And I also work with women individually towards becoming more loving towards themselves and others, and embodying this love in everyday life. And yes, I have degrees in psychology and all kinds of things, but more important, passion for bringing more love into this world. And teaching compassionate communication skills really helps me to express this passion. So if you want to find out more about me, you can visit my website, which is womeninfullbloom.com. Or you can connect with me personally through that website, and I'd be happy to have a conversation with you in person so that you can get to know me better. So why am I doing this anyway? I'm doing this series because I want to share what has worked for me to improve my life and what I know has worked for millions of people all around the world in many countries. I want to share what has made my life what I call a better place to live in for me and for all the other people that I come into contact with, which is really important. I want to share this because perhaps it will work for you to make your life a better place to live in. And more specifically, what brought me to this work and why I'm doing it is that I originally came to this approach out of curiosity. And then I dove in as I became more aware that there was a way out of my inability to clearly express myself with ease and authenticity, that there was a way out of my fear of conflict, and there was a way out of my inability to respond to challenging situations in the moment that they were occurring, and that this way out was through the way in to becoming more authentically me in how I express myself through learning compassionate communication. So I want to share this with you, and I want to bring this possibility to you. So what this is all based on is the life work of a renowned psychologist whose name is Marshall Rosenberg, and how it has come through my understanding. So Marshall passed away this past February, and many people loved him very dearly because he helped so many of us uplift our lives dramatically. And he originally called this work Nonviolent Communication, The Language of Compassion. And that, by the way, is also the name of his first book, if you're into reading, and you can find that on Amazon.com really easily. So it is Nonviolent Communication, The Language of Compassion. It's my desire to give you as many resources as I can so that you can explore this whole world, because there's a lot out there, not just what I'm offering. So anyway, Marshall began teaching his ideas in the 1960s, and because of his passion and persistence over the years, he created a worldwide movement of people devoted to living compassionately loving lives. So you're not alone here, and I'm not alone here. An anecdote about one of the motivations for the development of this approach that I find describes the essential purpose of it is that Marshall found that one major cause of human suffering is the way that we relate to one another. Essentially, the conversations that we have with each other, and the ones that we also have inside our head, by the way. The way we learn colloquially how to speak and listen to each other is commonly discounting and disempowering, dishonoring and disrespectful, disrespecting. Marshall believed that all humans are at the core caring, and that if we repattern our conditioned ways of relating and learn how to express natural care for each other in our words, in our conversations, then we can empower each other and ourselves and create a co-creative sharing of life in a loving and kind way. We can share our power. NVC, as it's called, nonviolent communication, is practiced all around the world. And there is, like I said before, a growing movement of millions of people who have been radically touched by this work and are practicing and living its principles and its tools in all ways and applying it in many areas of life, both professionally and personally. And you can find out more about it on my website, or you can visit the central website of the organization, which is cnvc.org. So I'm just going to take a little sip of water. Hold on for a sec. Okay. So what is this stuff about? Well, what I want you to know before we start into the material of what it's about is that this approach to interpersonal communication is rich. It's multifaceted and incredibly comprehensive. And it also serves many functions. It's a practical approach to being able to speak one's truth, to being able to hear another person's truth, and to be able to find ways of working together, being together with others that honor each person. And in doing so, helps us to create more fulfilling relationships and helps us to bring more well-being into life circumstances. It's also a roadmap for bringing spiritual values into everyday relating, and it's a personal growth practice for becoming more mindful, self-aware, self-connected, and more deeply connected to all of life. Does this sound good to you? Sounds good to me. Well, anyway, it would be impossible for me to speak to the entirety of this work, of this body, of this approach in this little short time that we have today together. What I can do, though, today and each week is to present some of the core principles and various tools that can help you to bring them to life in your relationships with yourself and with other people so that you can eventually get a fleshed out picture and perhaps be inspired to go deeper and integrate this in your life. So with that in mind, I'd like to present a tool today that you can use right now. And this is a particular listening tool. This is a tool of stepping into the field of compassion by taking a stance of loving, positive regard for yourself, for me, for the content that we're looking at, and for anything else that's in your field of awareness right now, for all of life. Loving positive regard, it sets the stage for honoring the humanity that we share and helps us to extend this even if you disagree with what's happening or you don't like something. You know, often when we disagree with another person, we confuse our disagreement with who that person is or who we are. And we forget that we're all just people trying to connect in some way. We get angry and we get critical. We get lost in our judgments. We get lost in our head trying to figure things out. Loving positive regard helps you to stay connected and opens you to receiving a gift that you might not be expecting. Loving positive regard opens your heart and mind to the mystery of what is not known. And it sets the stage for you to receive new creative possibilities. So to go into loving positive regard, here's how we do it. Simply close your eyes if you can. Take a deep breath into your chest or into your belly. And let out a long, slow sigh. Release whatever tension you might be holding from the day. And simply relax your mind as you breathe in. And you breathe out and bring your awareness to the sensation of breathing. Now bring your awareness to your heart area and be with yourself with a kind of kindness. That makes you smile. And as you listen, if you find yourself getting tense or critical of yourself because of what's coming up in you as you listen to me or of me, just close your eyes, take a deep breath, and come back to this place of remembering that we're all human And we're all doing the best we can in any given moment. This is an essential practice that will help you to step out of any tangled web of an argument that might be leading to disconnection and discord, and take you back into the field of love and connection. Okay. I'm going to start focusing on with what brings most of us to the table of this conversation, which is wanting to learn how to communicate more effectively. And why? And that's because the desire for more fulfilling connection and more love in our lives is at the foundation for most of our striving, for most of our yearning and longing. The desire for more fulfilling connection and more love in our lives. And who doesn't want more love in their life? I think that it's safe to say that most of us really do, whether it's self-love, love of others, a beloved, or divine love. Love is essential. Fulfilling connection is what helps open the channels for love to flow, whether it's personal love or divine love. When we open the channels of love and allow love to flow, we also feel more connection. We feel more connection to ourselves, to others, to God, source, spirit, to nature. It's a circle, and it goes round and round. Well, it's more like a spiral, actually, because each time you go around, you deepen. So love, in all of its forms, leads to connection. And connection helps you to feel your love outpouring. The bottom line is that you feel better when you can relate to other people in ways that support connection and the flow of love. We all do. And compassionate communication skills are all about this. Developing communication skills that are based in the heart-centeredness of compassion puts us all in the flow of this never-ending, deepening spiral of love and connection, love and connection, and love and connection. So two essential practices that facilitate the flow of love and the fulfillment of connection in life in general are compassion and empathy. And they're also the basic foundational components of compassionate communication because of that. And because compassion and empathy are so much the core of compassionate communication, without a journey into understanding these ways of being, the tools become sort of mechanical and mental, and they really don't work. So that's why I'm focusing on these principles today. And I'm inviting you to take a journey into your own understanding of compassion and empathy as you know it today. I'm going to take a moment here to give you my simple definition of these two terms and what they mean. My definition of compassion is that it is the ability to understand and feel what another is going through in the full continuum of human experience, from the challenges of anguish, the darknesses of rage, the chains of frustration, for example, to the song of desire, or the sweet touch of tenderness, and all the way along the continuum of human experience to the wings of joy and perhaps even to the liberation of bliss. All that's possible. And we as humans have the ability to, in our guts, know all of this. It's a given. Because we share humanness together. Although, you know, we're all very different, very unique from different cultures, different backgrounds, we do have the ability to feel one another's pain and joy or other aspects that are at the core of what it means to be human. Even if the circumstances of our life might be completely different from the circumstances of another person's life, we have the natural ability to feel each other, to understand each other, It's actually essential to have access to this capacity because it is what gives us the inner experience of being connected to life. So, you know, many of us have been shut down to our natural compassion for whatever reason, and it's really painful. It's extremely alienating. I think you all know this. And I think that it is through compassion that we humans experience our basic loving nature. Each of us, like I said before, has a varying degree of ability to be compassionate with others and ourselves based on many factors. And learning compassionate communication helps us to expand our capacity and fine-tune it and brings us into the state of natural compassion that is our birthright, and which I believe is actually naturally healing just in itself. So empathy. Empathy is the ability to express compassion. I think of compassion is how we experience our loving nature. And I think of empathy as how we express our loving nature, because empathy is the expression, is the outward expression of compassion. They are opposite sides of actually the same coin. The inner experience, which is compassion, and the outer expression, which is empathy. I also do believe that all of us humans, just like with compassion, have the natural capacity to be empathetic to varying degrees, like depending on different factors in our life, like upbringing, culture, gender, life circumstances, education, stuff like that. The compassionate communication skill set also helps us to expand and refine our capacity to express the inner experience of compassion through the outer expression of empathy, so that we have more easeful access to it and a broader capacity to express it. So in simple language, compassionate communication helps you to be more compassionate and empathetic towards yourself, which is really important, and towards the other people in your life. Actually, towards everything, even life itself, and opens you to the flow of love and connection that is so important. Does that sound like something you want for yourself? Well, it sure sounds like something I want for myself. And, you know, when I was first learning these skills, I did not really think about compassion or empathy in this way at all. I was just in pain because I did not have the kinds of connections that I wanted, and I really did not have the kind of love flowing in my life that I wanted. If someone said to me, do I think of myself as a compassionate or empathetic person, I probably would have said yes. But I really didn't connect the dots to how compassion and empathy can create what I was longing for, which was love and connection. This is what I'm inviting you to do now. Like myself, you might not have thought very deeply about the need for empathy and compassion before on this level. Or you might just take it for granted as just part of who you naturally are and don't really think about it. Or you also might have been suffering because you might not have gotten enough of this kind of stuff in your life and feel a little bit shut down to it. Whatever has gone on for you or is going on for you now, you might not be making the connection between compassion, empathy, and the way that you relate to other people or internally to yourself. You might be thinking, so what does compassion and empathy have to do with communication? I hope, as you can see so far, quite a bit, but I'll continue to try to illuminate how these dots are connected as best I can in this conversation. And if you continue to tune into the series, or if you inquire more deeply for yourself about nonviolent communication and compassionate communication through other venues, you'll continue to gain more understanding about this. But for now, I'm going to explain this connection by sharing with you what the world is like without compassion and empathy, and then what the world is like with it. So here we go. Without it, compassion and empathy in your communication. You most probably will feel lots of contractions in your life. You might feel a sense of alienation or isolation, loneliness. You'll for sure feel criticism and judgment, envy, jealousy, resentment, bitterness, lack of understanding, lack in general. You might feel shut down in your emotions. You might feel polarized in internal conflict, like me versus you, us versus them, either or. You might experience a lot of undue sacrifice, a lot of buts, shoulds, demands. You might get into a lot of power struggles and have a lot of internal and external conflict. You might feel that you're just not heard ever or seen or understood by other people or recognized or accepted. Communication that is empty of passion and empathy often results in all of these states. It often looks like bullying or coercion. It looks like power over. It also looks like bossiness, meanness, and self-centeredness. Stuff like that. Communication that has compassion and empathy in it leads you to feeling a sense of expansion in life, connection to your emotions and your passion, at peace within yourself, freedom to be who you are, curious about what's going on, understanding, a feeling of being understood, of being seen and heard, appreciated, feelings of kindness and caring and support and community, a sense of participation in life and cooperation, a feeling of capacity to co-create and to love, feelings of togetherness and oneness and communion with others. Communication that is filled with compassion and empathy often leads to these states of being and feels spacious, allowing, has a sense of equality to it and equanimity, feels nurturing and kind. Okay, so what are the particular elements, the kind of nuts and bolts that we in general as humans want compassion and empathy from each other for? We want to be heard for our feelings in a compassionate and empathetic way. We want to be heard for what we're needing in a compassionate and empathetic way, for what we're desiring, for what our wants are, for what our particular and unique ways of going about getting these things met. We want to be heard in a compassionate, empathetic way for our life choices. Every which way we choose to be and express ourselves and our unique version of life is what we want compassion and empathy for. You might feel this as a longing for more support. You might feel it as a longing for more nurturing, for care, for more understanding, for more appreciation, or you might feel it as a longing for more celebration of yourself. Others might also want this from you. And these are the signs that it's time to open yourself to giving and receiving compassion in the form of empathy. What we're going to be doing in these times together is learning how to have authentic compassion and to give authentic empathy for those very things, for the feelings that we share, for the human needs that we have, for the human perceptions of life that we have, for our life choices, and for everything else that has meaning to us, which actually is just about everything in life. I want you to know that before I end our time together, before we come to the end today, I'm going to share with you a very simple practice that will help you to cultivate empathy in your listening. But for now, I'd like to address the question of how do we cultivate a general sense of authentic, natural compassion and empathy? This is important because we can feel this from others energetically, and others can feel this And when we're speaking from this energetic state of being, our words land in other people. But if we're not coming from this natural state energetically, our words don't land in people. Have you ever gotten some quote-unquote empathy from someone who was giving it to you because you asked for it, but you couldn't feel it actually coming from them? It landed in you flatly? Or perhaps you were that person who was giving empathy, but you were secretly judging, and you could see in the other person's eyes or the way they were being that what you were saying just didn't land inside of them, that they were flat, they weren't getting you. Here are some ways that you can cultivate compassion and empathy energetically as a general field of being, just like the field of positive regard. Think about whatever brings you peace of mind and helps you to feel more spacious. That will lead you to your natural compassion. Because when you're feeling peaceful, it's easier to feel compassionate and be willing to extend yourself to another in empathy. So doing things like taking a hot bath, breathing and relaxing, or doing simple meditations, slow yoga practices, sitting in nature, or anything else that de-stresses you or that's self-nurturing. Whatever opens your heart to love, practice, like watching babies in the park with their innocence, or playing with puppies and kittens, or looking at pictures of baby animals playing. Or if you want more of an in-the-moment challenge, you can try remembering that the person you are arguing with is really your beloved partner, who you know loves you and is committed to being with you. So take a deep breath in that moment and shift your position from seeing them as the enemy to feeling them as who they truly are, your beloved partner. Or you can take another challenge, which is instead of hurrying past the beggar on the street, stop and feel your pain in the face of that person's suffering. Those kind of actions can open your heart to compassion. You can also experiment and experience standing in someone else's shoes for a moment so that you can feel what they might be going through, whether it's a person telling you about a struggle or a person celebrating something wonderful. And another simple way to get into compassion is through simply connecting internally with your sense of care for yourself, how precious you are, and how precious life is. So specifically, some ways to get into empathy. One way is to connect with the basic human need to be understood, not just your longing for that special someone to hear you, but the core essential need to be heard that we all share. Can you remember a time when it felt really good to be heard, when somebody really heard you? Ah, it's a great feeling when you know somebody really got you. Can you imagine giving that gift to someone else? It is a gift that you can give to another. And when you notice somebody's giving it to you, you can stop and take it in and feel how good that is. Okay, so those are some suggestions for how you might cultivate your natural compassion and empathy. And here is the skill that I wanted to give you today. It's called reflective listening. It's a great practice for cultivating empathetic listening. here is how you might do this in a conversation with somebody. While you're listening to what somebody's telling you, let go of trying to figure out what they're saying, of what you're going to say when they're finished talking. Let go of your mind interpreting what they're saying and simply listen with curiosity. Relax your mind like we did with positive loving regard and open your heart to being with this person. Breath and allow yourself to drop into a state of simply being present with loving positive regard. Listening to their words and taking these words at face value, which means really listening to the words that this person is saying. And when they're finished, you can simply repeat their words back to them in the form of a question that might sound like this. Is this what you said? Did I get it? Is there anything else about this that you want me to know? And when they've said what they needed to say, simply thank them for sharing this with you. This is a very simple practice, but it's not that easy because we're all conditioned to give advice, give our interpretations, give our sympathy, like there, redirect the story back to ourselves, or insert our own words into what they're saying. As a person being listened to, you might think that, it would be so silly to hear back my own words. But ask somebody to do this for you sometime, and you might be surprised to feel how good it actually feels to simply hear your own words spoken back to you. And remember that this is framed as a question. A question creates the consciousness of an inquiry. Often we respond to each other with definitive intonations like, oh yeah, you said. And if you remember or try to notice the next time you do that, you oftentimes get a response back like, well, that's not what I said. Or the person tries to repeat the thing over and over again. And when you hear somebody repeating themselves over and over again, that's a sure sign that they have not felt heard from you yet. It's a little red flag. Okay, so a question invites the speaker to give us more information, to correct our understanding of them so that they feel understood by us. And isn't that the purpose of communication? To actually understand, to share information about ourselves or receive information about others that we would not otherwise know. Okay, so this is a very humble beginning. I'm going to open up the lines in a moment for some sharing. And I would like to use this sharing and this call-in time in a very particular way. I'd like to both hear from you about how you have experienced compassion and empathy in your life or not. And I'd like to also demonstrate this simple skill of reflective listening that I just explained. So you might be a little shy about calling in. I'm not going to ask you your name so you can keep your anonymity. If you'd like to say your name, that's fine. But before you do that, I invite you to think about just a simple anecdote or vignette from your life of how you've experienced either receiving empathy, feeling empathy and compassion for yourself, not for a situation that's a really good example of how you didn't receive empathy or compassion. And I'm going to give you reflective listening for that so you can see how it works. All right, so before we go in there, I'm going to take a little sip of water. Okay. Let's see if there's anyone on the line that wants to call in. Okay, so far we don't have any callers. And since this is the first episode of this new series, I wasn't expecting to have that many callers. And so we might end early. Yay! All right, so I'm going to wrap this up. And really want to thank you for listening, for your kind listening. And I want you to know that I'll be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. California time on Blog Talk Radio. And you can access any of the shows that you've missed by going onto Blog Talk Radio. And I will also post them in the podcast section of my website, which is www.womeninfullbloom.com. And you can also go on my website and find out about what I'm up to, find out more about me, and connect with me in person. And if you go to my website, I have a free gift for you. If you go to this page, which is womeninfullbloom.com/free-gift/, and it's a free 5-part introductory training to compassionate communications. It's 5 MP3s that you can download off of my website and put them onto your iPhone or your phone or your whatever little device and listen to them wherever you want to listen to them. It's my gift to you. And I guess that's it. So I'm going to sign up for now. Thank you so much for being here with me today. And until next time, this is Priya Rakoff with the Power of Compassionate Communication, speaking to you live from Women in Full Bloom Live on Blog Talk Radio. Bye for now.